Hi. Gay is not sin. And Jesus isn't asking the gay person to be straight. Now, when you accept Jesus, there's a little bit more to it that's available to you than just, saying the sinner's prayer. For instance, right now, if you would pray this prayer, you'd actually be saved if you believe it. If you say, God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, and that he rose from the grave on the third day. I believe that he paid the price for my sins on the cross, died for my sins. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. A prayer like that, doesn't have to be exactly, but a prayer like that, if you believe it, the conditions are simply that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the only Son of God, and that he came and became man without sin and died on the cross. And the wages of sin is that we have to die for them, unless that we can pay the price for them because of something that we do. But there's nothing that we can do because we have sin in our life. But Jesus came in and was without sin. And he was the perfect sacrifice for sin. And so when he died on the cross, it was able to pay the price for every sin in the world. And to receive this forgiveness is really a simple task. And that's simply, you must personally, with your awareness, ask him to forgive you and say to him that you believe in him. Praying is simply talking to Jesus or to God. So you just pray a prayer like, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and that God rose you on the third day. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. This kind of a prayer gets you saved if you believe those things. Then it comes time to read the Bible. And you don't just read any Bible as though that all versions are good enough. Most of the time, when you go to church, you're going to hear things like, it really doesn't matter what version that you read, just so long as it's the Bible. And there are lots and lots of modern versions that translate over into English in various styles. And then lots of people have their kind of style that they like. Some like the NIV, some like the King James Bible, some like the New Jerusalem's Bible, and some like this and that and the other Bible. But this is not how it works. You see, there's something a little bit more to God and his Holy Bible than simply going down to the bookstore and picking out any modern version that seems to be easy enough for you to read. You can't simply pick up any old Bible and read it and expect that this is going to do you some good. Because there's a history on the Bibles. And this history isn't very widely known, and your pastors aren't teaching you this actual history about how we have the Bible in our hands today. All the Bibles that you could get, you can open it up to the preface, you can even get some King James Version Bible, but some person wrote it up and highlighted it and put their commentaries in it. You have to read that preface, and it's going to tell you who basically translated it and what they think of it. And I can guarantee you, everybody thinks their Bible's the best. So whoever the translators are, whoever did the translations for the modern version that's in your hand, are going to tell you it's the best and most accurate. Now, how do you know that if somebody is telling you to your face that it is absolutely correct? Or it's not a wannabe correct? I hope it's correct. or they believe it's correct, so you should believe it's correct kind of thing. Well, the Bible's a little bit more complex in this way that it got from the apostles' mouth and the ancient prophets' mouth into the Bible. Generally, we don't have a lot of problems in the Old Testament because you got the Jewish history involved in there and the style that they write and the rule that they must follow, their scribes, in writing down Old Testament sacred writings. But still, when you get a modern version, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. You know what? I really would like to somehow find the words to convey to you the seriousness of you using modern translations. So I talk about it fairly often on this program. Hopefully that you will finally take time, you know, to get out your computer or go to the library or whatever, look for Westcott and Holt, type that into your browser and start reading the various pages that comes up, because there you get thousands of pages. There's lots of information about Westcott and Holt from lots of different sources, lots of different historians and so forth and so on. So you can find out Westcott and Holt is the reason, or the people that got that book in your hand. It's called the Modern Translation, a Modern Version Bible. Doesn't matter what the author of the book or the translator in the preface says. No matter what, do you hear me? Flat out, modern versions can go directly back to Westcott and Holt. The Catholics already got a corrupt version of the Bible and made it their official Bible in the 15th century. Westcott and Holt got this corrupt version, but via the original Latin Vulgate, translated into a kind of a style of Greek that they sort of invented, so it's not any kind of contemporary or ancient Greek, it's a fully new kind of style. So, got a little disturbance there. Got to start over here a little bit. Westcott and Holt in the 1880s got this corrupt version, and as I said, translated into the style of Greek that they sort of invented. Then they translated it back into English. Now, one of them was on the board of the committee to revise the Bible. The idea was to revise the King James Version, meaning to make it more accurate, if that were possible, and to get it into the modern style of English of the late 1800s. But these two people hated the King James Version Bible. And the day there was modern technologies coming up. You know, science is increasing. We're getting all kinds of education. The colleges are really, you know, teaching us all kinds of manner of thing back there in the 18th century. World was coming along, and it didn't seem to match up with the King James style of God's Word. And so they kind of had a, you know, they were thinking that the time was right for somebody like Westcott and Holt to come in and bring on a new kind of Bible that will tantalize the Christians of the day that were coming and getting saved and had, you know, having some of this education, you know. They were really something coming into those days in the 1880s. Now, but there was more evil than just simply translating the corrupt version of the Bible into English and getting it to become the full translation they did into become the Church of England Bible, where all modern translations come from. And you can listen to anybody you want, but I tell you, if you yourself get to searching, you'll find out all modern translations come from the Church of England Bible, from Westcott and Hort. But these people didn't stop there. They were occultists. And they created a secret club. I believe it's called the Ghost Club. Now, in this Ghost Club, which is an adoption of the Masons and so forth, and their history that goes back to the flood, where the Masons claim their beginning began, is after the flood. Then the Masons began. Now, the word Masons didn't come into being until around Solomon's day. But the group, the secret society, as it were, went all the way back to the flood. So the depth of Mason, Freemason, and so forth, tell us, or you can get when you dig a little and find out these things. And so now you've got Westcott and Hort creating a new club here, which now, today, if you're going to be in Antichrist's kingdom and some sort of leader, if you're going to be some kind of powerhouse in the world today, if you want to be somebody that has at least a chance of being going on and not being killed off by the New World Order as it is, to be an elite leader, you have to belong to this club. And Westcott and Hort. The authors, the translators of all of your modern versions that you read. Now there's a purpose for modern versions. They cannot work if in 1880 all kind of manner of modern English Bibles started to develop. Just wouldn't happen. What needed to happen was, guess what? The nation of Israel had to become a nation. The great deceptions are not going to start happening until after Israel become a nation. Well, Israel became a nation. And then we have to get this kind of phrase that we got, that generation won't pass away. Somebody's going to be left alive, no matter how you figure out a generation. The Bible says that generation won't pass away. That can go up to, boy, if you can live to 100 years old, that'd be 2048. 2047, 2048. So that means Jesus has to get done, if you live to be 100 years old, by 2048. So in a way, we've got a long while, and you know something? Jesus wants to get as many saved as absolutely possible. This is the whole purpose of things. So they're going to try, God, everybody that's involved here, is going to get this down to the closest moment before anything like a tribulation actually starts, and Jesus returns. And so now modern translations work. They're really neat because there's the function of modern translation. We have a function. When we read, it's different than when we hear. We can hear things and consciously kind of believe this certain way. But when you're reading, you're putting, entering data through text. Text is a code for hearing, but it's not heard. So it goes into by a different system, which is permanent. We can remember things. We see flashes of pictures of when we was really young. Just as clear as picture, we had HDTV. Zap all of, we could bring that picture right. It entered a different way than our hearing. But we can hardly remember anything we said or did, unless it was pretty significant. When we read modern translations, we are inputting this into a section of the brain that has good recollection. It may not be recollection as the way that we can then quote a verse here and there from memory, because that's a different system. What it does is puts it into you in a, it's sort of what conditioning does. When you see things and everything, it hardly doesn't make the input as other ways that things that enter into your system. When you're reading, you are importing data into your brain. Doesn't matter. You don't have a clue. It's not that you're consciously really aware of. You're just going, wonderful, it sounds really good. Sort of like what my pastor said, in a way, you know, I can be between the lines. You put all kinds of stuff in between the lines of modern translation Bibles. The purpose is, if you ever had a chance, and it's pretty easy to do online, you would compare verse to verse of modern translations to the King James. In a way, you could say, well, King James is kind of monotonous because it seems to always have to seem to insert that extra comma, Jesus Christ, Son of God. God. Jesus is Son of God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Where the modern translation, at least you got half the Christ off it more often. There's a subtle way. When you get to line up the verses of modern translations and compare them to the King James verses, you see something really awe-inspiring. It should shake you. Because what you'll see, verse by verse, modern translations changing something. You see over here, it's really directed at God and Jesus Christ. Here, we get some more pronouns. We don't put the names in. We don't get the Christness as often. And you really don't know this when you're reading it because you already accept that Jesus is the Christ. That's what your pastor tells you all the time. So you're reading the Bible and you can easily, consciously put in Jesus Christ, Son of God. It's almost like you could see it in between the lines. We always like to say, we like to read in between the lines. Well, that's what we're doing when we read modern translations. But that's not what our brain does. That's not what our eyeballs do. That bypasses our conscience. The conscience isn't something that is editing what we read. The conscience simply, oh yeah, that's Jesus Christ. But the database in here is going direct. You know, you're just downloading it. Did you know that? You're just downloading it. You don't have to any RAM business at all. You don't get to fool around with it, play around and edit and do things like that. It's just, you get to the file put inside your brain as the file was in the book, the modern translation. So it gets down in. So finally the day comes for the deceptions. And they start turning up stuff. And you say, oh, can't be, Jesus is the Christ. You go out, get your modern translation now, and you got this data in your head that suddenly says, yeah, that's exactly what it says there. Jesus is not really saying he's the Christ. It gets more complicated than that. But the modern translations are actually preparing you to accept Antichrist as Jesus. You're going to really believe that he is Jesus after all. That man over there is Jesus. That's what you're going to come to believe. You're going to be looking all over the world here, and you're going to be thinking all kinds of manner of things, and you're going to be evaluating what your five senses are telling you. And it's going to look like that guy over there is Jesus after all. It suddenly makes sense to you. And there's some technology that is just going to be so deception to your five senses. You're going to hear things and see things. You're going to see Jesus coming in the sky, horizon to horizon, HD TV. They can do that today. You could be outside. You can look way down the street where you still see some sky on the street because the horizon is out there. And you see all the buildings around there. And each crack in the building or something where you can see the sky, that's going to be video all the way, all around you. It's amazing to see the sky become a monitor in HDTV, better in HDTV, and the sound also. You can hear something as voice come from space telling you he's God. And what's more, it's going to actually come into inside your brain and involved with your thought process, manipulating those thoughts into a conversation with God. How are you going to fight against that? How are you going to reject that if you don't find out that this is what's going to happen? Deceptions are coming. Modern translations are helping you. Satan is a counterfeiter. He's going to counterfeit the Word of God. King James Version was like, it got translated and still intact. It's from the Received Text in the 2nd century. you got the gathering together of all the received texts, which is copies of the original, handwritten copies of the original. And these were written in the fashion that the Old Testament was written by the scribes of the Israel nation. Meticulously, Hebrew language. Hebrew letters even have, as you drawing them, things about the drawing of the letter that is significant, and they even had to put those nuances of the letter into as they wrote copies. And this was translated into Latin Vulgate. Now we have lots of other kinds of things that we're seeing on History Channel and Bible Mysteries and all these kind of stuff, where we find all this Egyptian stuff and all these other ancient texts, you know, all the various cults that was out there and putting together kind of Bible. Satan knew exactly what he was doing. And by the time, the same time frame, the second century, a manuscript was translated into Latin Vulgate, containing the same kinds of books and everything. But then the corrupt version wasn't hardly used, while the received text, the right copy, was used for all the first part of the, up to the 15th century. Then the Vatican got hold of the corrupt copy. Oh, this is really old, you know. It's got, and besides, you know, they got masons and stuff in there. And they got the New World Order is well on its way. We're using this corrupt version. Whether the actual people that make the decision knew that or not, they actually made that the official Bible of the Catholics. And then it was the Protestants that got it in the Church of England Bible in the 1880s. Satan makes counterfeits of God. He wants to counterfeit Jesus. He wants to counterfeit the Holy Spirit. He wants to counterfeit God. He wants to counterfeit God's Word. And if you're thinking that God's going to protect His Word, well, guess what He did in the King James Version? If you don't like the these and the thous, that's just too bad. That's how God wants to talk to you, flat out. You go into a modern version, you're asking for trouble. And your pastors use these modern versions. So no matter what, you're going to get stuffed with modern version Bibles. And the only way you can get around it is to go into depth search of word by word in difficult topics or important topics. And another thing which I wanted to add to, when you get saved, God has something. Not only do you search out the truth and use the correct word of God so you can learn about Jesus, you also need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there's not that many churches out there that are really into this, you know. And people, you don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to get saved or to go to heaven or get raptured. But I tell you something, it's an awfully good thing to have and going to be helpful, get you closer to Jesus. One of the initial evidence that you got baptized in the Holy Spirit is speaking in a language that you have not learned. You won't understand this language unless you also get the gifts of interpretation of the language that you got the gift of. So you could speak a prayer language, you could speak a power language, as it were, you could speak these languages. And I tell you, people, if you think you're baptized with the Holy Spirit and you are not speaking in tongues, you better rethink what you're doing, or you better start doing what's part of the initial evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. They didn't play lightly with this word initial. Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to baptize you and keep seeking that in earnest until He does baptize you, and then it's your will that speaks it out in other tongues using your vocal cords. See you next week. Translation, you are reading a great deception. Check out West Cotton Holt. You see what I mean. See you next week.